This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Happy Friday morning to you and yours. It is VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross right here at the Mint Gaming Hall. Franklin, Kentucky, our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. Wow, we got one fake football game in the books, Jensen, but it felt real. At least we can believe it for a little while. The Hall of Fame game is finally in the books.
It is great to see all the patronage. Thank you very much for all the capitalism here in the Northeast Ohio area for you Cardinals and Panthers fans. We appreciate it. I got to tell you what was funny, Dave. It looked picturesque on TV, but we're about 25 minutes from the stadium, and it was just an absolute deluge of a downpour. So I was like, oh, please do not have any delays in the game. We had a quick thunderstorm through here. So at any rate, the thunder and lightning was on the field, my friend. Holy hell, defense optional in the first game of the year. But it is so good to have it back, my friend. What a night it was.
Yeah, it really was. It felt like a fun start to the year. And again, we've got a bunch of these here to come up in the preseason before we get to the regular season in just over a month. So we're all excited about that. We've got Thomas Gable is going to join us as he normally does. But today, he's not in Atlantic City. He is right there at Circa in Las Vegas, out there for Bet Bash. Cannot wait to catch up with TG. I know he's had a lot of fun out there this week and for a very special reason as well. Lou Fitacaro is going to join the program as well as Lou always does here. And what we're going to do with Lou is catch up with him on what we're going to see this week at UFC Vegas 120. Might even slide in a little football talk as well. But let's begin with the National Football League last night right there in your neck of the woods at Canton, Ohio. And that's where we begin our highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
Haynes King, a mad dash to the goal line, dives. He's in at the gun. 33-30 in the last play of the fourth quarter in a Hall of Fame game thriller. It really was. I closely contested, scoreless after one, and then everything just kind of all hell broke loose in that second quarter and beyond, Jensen. So the over easily cashes. If you had the Cardinals, I mean, you don't want to say it's a bad beat. It's preseason football, right? So kind of hung in the balance there. I'm swinging back and forth. But 33-30, it goes to the Panthers. Any bigger takeaways for you or just kind of a fun football game to watch that – really, we're not going to remember in about a month's time from now?
Yeah, you probably thought the over was toast after a scoreless first quarter. Don't worry. Never in doubt. That thing was going to be flying over. What a second quarter. 34 points alone just in the second quarter there. I got to say, a shout out Danny Higgins, our resident quarterback here at VSiN. He was kind of, I was following him last night, just breaking down both the quarterbacks in Carson Beck and Haynes King. And boy, did they look very under control. Like this was no big deal, even though, you know, you're playing backups to the backups, the presence in the pocket, Dave, the situational awareness, you know, being able to make the reads and get the ball out quickly. I thought it was pretty impressive. Hey, I know you've got, a thought or two on the offensive rookie of the year market, and the overreaction started last night. So we'll get to the Carson Beck side of it, but Steve Mackinnon, shout out again. That is six straight overs five straight overs now for the Hall of Fame game. And boy, the Cardinals had a chance to make it six underdog outright wins if they made that final goal line stop. But what a finish, what a start to the NFL season.
Yeah, and we'll get to that in a little bit here with Carson Beck. And again, something he gave out on this program over a month ago. If you're looking for a long shot for rookie of the year, and I kept telling you why Carson Beck might be the guy to do that. And he looked the part. It's game one. It's against backup defenses. So let's hold that. But that number has dropped dramatically, 25-1. We'll get to those changes a little bit later on in the program. We also made mention that when Bijan Robinson gets paid, you knew other guys are going to get paid as well. And now Bijan was the highest paid running back in the history of the NFL. Not any longer. Jahmyr Gibbs is now the highest paid running back in the history of the NFL with his 3-year extension. And these are the keys now. Remember, these guys did the sit-ins at the beginning of camps here in Detroit and Atlanta, respectively. They weren't holdouts. They were sit-ins because they were under contract technically But Jensen, they're getting the money they want from, and now it feels like marquee position all over again in the NFL.
Yeah, this is great news for these running backs. And Dave, you know, when you think about the names now that are in that $50 million or higher total value, Jeremiah Love, we'll get to see him in week one moving forward here for the Arizona Cardinals. Devon Achane has been just an absolute workhorse for the Miami Dolphins, and he is going to be pretty much unencumbered in that offense with Malik Willis this year. Of course, Bijan Robinson, we talked about earlier this week, and now Jahmyr Gibbs. And food for thought here, Dave. Achane, Bijan Robinson, Gibbs, they're all 24 years old. Okay, so what I think is intriguing here, guys like James Cook is 25 when he signed his extension. Josh Jacobs is 26 when he signed his extension. You see a common theme atop the total contract pay, if you will, that it's the mid-20s. These organizations, they're going to have to get the most out of it now. But remember, you've already had a couple of years' time before that to show this kind of production. We always say it, you get paid, you know, this time for work from the back end, and we'll see what the potential is. But I don't know about you, my friend. If you had the number one overall pick in fantasy football, I don't think you can go wrong with either Bijan or Jahmyr Gibbs. I think you're going to be in good shape.
I think either one I'd be pretty happy with if I had either one of those guys. This is a three-year, $67.5 million extension. Could be valued at close to $76 million. 51.5 of that is guaranteed. I mean, the money all of a sudden that running backs are getting, and they couldn't get second contracts now. Oh, my goodness. They are getting paid and then some. Red Sox, they keep vaulting up every day, refuse to lose in comeback fashion. Same with the North Siders. And the Red Sox did that to the South Siders. The Cubs come back in dramatic fashion down to their last out in the bottom of the ninth inning and reverse the script in extras against the Blue Jays. I don't know if we're going to get Cubs-Red Sox somewhere down the road, but Jensen, for a day, you can understand why those fan bases are very, very excited about what they saw last night.
Indeed. Right now, I know Will Hill mentioned it yesterday, talking, if you want to take a little sprinkle, yesterday's price, as you like to say, is not today's price. Red Sox Cubs World Series exacta right now, down to 47-1. So it is absolutely crashing odds wise. It was triple digits just a week or so ago. Bigger things to take out of a couple of these games. First, let's start with the Cubs, Dave. What a finish. And boy, one of the few outings where Louis Varland down to the final out, basically, man, was not able to get it done. Alex Bregman, a huge game tying home run. More importantly, though, it was what happened during the game. Dylan Cease, now your odds on favorite as the American League Cy Young race shifts here. Cam Schlittler plus $1.05. Dylan Cease now minus $1.15 on DraftKings. And the Red Sox, Dave, if you want to take the Red Sox to win the American League, it is down to 5-1. I'm going to give you later on where this odds cascade has been, because it is nothing short of remarkable. We had Rob Bradford on, you know, the 30-5 record since June 25th, make it 31-5. This freight train, not only out of the station, I don't know what's going to slow it down the way they're playing right now.
I think somebody said in this program yesterday that in a high-profile game, if Dylan Cease went out there and shoved, they might flip the market in the Cy Young. Oh, yes, I said that yesterday right here in the program, and look what happened today. It's now Dylan Cease is the favorite to win the Cy Young. Boy, Blue Jays, you can't lose that game, though. I kind of needed that one there on the bigger scale, but very, very great performance again by Dylan Cease in a losing cause, because Louis Varland could not get that save. Bo Hostler is your leader at the Wyndham Championship, 9 under par after one round. I had a big fight in this one with Ben James from UVA for a first round leader ticket at 70-1. He bogeys 18, Jensen, to finish at 8 under par. So it's Bo Hostler. If you had those tickets, you were definitely in triple digits yesterday. And Jensen, this is how hard it is to cash those first round leader tickets. We've got a couple dogs in the fight here going forward, but Bo Hostler, not having exactly the best year, 9 under 61 yesterday. Really impressive first round there at the Wyndham.
Well, we'll toot my own horn here for the Bet the Build. I gave you a Sahith Theegala. How about the front nine there for Sahith Theegala? Unbelievable what he did. I'm interested kind of moving forward. You always do this after a Thursday going into a Friday. I know we'll get your thoughts upcoming on maybe some live spots for this tournament. Because again, correct me if I'm wrong, we got to factor in the motivation factor here too. Not only, you know, the playoff starting next week, but maybe a little bit more of how that course factors in for what you saw from guys there in the first 18 yesterday.
There are guys right there in that bubble before the FedEx Cup playoffs. Jackson Koivun is one of those guys. Right now, he'd be one spot out. Solid 3-under par yesterday. Like my chances there for a top 20. Certainly like my chances with Ben James and with little Denny McCarthy. I got him at over 3-1 here at Circa for a top 20. He's at 6-under par. These guys need those points to try to get into the next round. By the way, Bo Hostler can only get to the playoff if he wins this weekend. So some of those iterations certainly factoring in. The 76ers have introduced their newly acquired all-star, Jaylen Brown. There's a nice picture if you're watching on FanDuel Sports Network and on YouTube television. So five-time all-star. He said it was awkward, Jensen. You can understand why going from Boston to Philly. Got to get used to his new surroundings.
He looks awkward with the glasses, like he's the new kid in school and doesn't know where to sit. Doesn't know, you know, where the different classes are and which classroom. Hey, congratulations, my friend. You wanted to be a one. You wanted to be the man. You might not even be the third option on this team. Boy, what a circus, Philadelphia. Cannot wait to see what this looks like in the first couple of weeks. And if they get off to a rough start, oh, boy. Mm. To be in Philly talk, sports talk radio come NBA season, what theater that is going to be.
Got to give them credit. They have done a good job in this offseason here, the NBA, of keeping the focus there because we know the behemoth that is the National Football League is starting, and sometimes that all goes away. Speaking of, Jensen, we're going to come back and break down that Hall of Fame game and why Carson Beck was somebody I advised here in the network that you might want to get a number, which was a long shot a long time ago. It is not a long shot today. We'll explain those changing numbers next right here on Visa by the Books. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We continue the Friday edition of VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis here with you. If you stayed up late and watched the end of the Hall of Fame game, one, I salute you because it was late on the East Coast for sure for fake football. But what an ending we saw with Haynes King running it in as time expires to give Carolina a 33-30 win. And Jensen, it was kind of cool. You saw Dave Canales and the whole team mob their rookie quarterback. Yeah. And we'll find out if he's going to be able to make the roster or not. Obviously, Kenny Pickett was the starter last night and looked decent, I guess, depending on your view of it. And we all know that Bryce Young is going to be the guy. On the other side of that equation, it really was Carson Beck that it felt like, you know, you could hear it in Chris Collinsworth's voice if you're watching the broadcast. He got excited about watching the youngster from Miami perform. And again, right here in the program, we gave out this summer, and this is why we do these exercises. If you know me well enough by now, you know I don't bet these markets. I do not bet where I've got to get in somebody else's head and try to figure out what they see and if they see the same thing I do. But we still handicap these markets like we did with Tyler Shuck last year, midway through the year, and gave him out at close to 150-1. And he came oh so close to cashing that ticket. And I mentioned here on the show that I thought Carson Beck was a good long shot before we saw anything because Jensen, eventually they're going to turn the keys over to the car to the kid. And no disrespect to Jacoby Brissett, but you saw it last night. And I think all last night did, if anything, it accelerates the timeline because the fan base saw it last night and they got excited because Chris Collinsworth got excited because America got excited about watching this youngster play. And now you wake up today and yesterday's price is definitely not today's price. Carson Beck is now 25-1 to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. Jensen, I'm seeing in other books as short as 15-1. America, that is a dramatic overreaction. That's why we give out numbers when we give them out. I would never now tell you to go run to the window to play that number now. Can he win the award? Of course. That's why we gave it out in the first place. But again, Jensen, this is the knee jerk and why we try to give you this information and the numbers before they dramatically change.
Yeah, it's really interesting to see it in real time. By the way, speaking of real time, how about by halftime in that game yesterday, Dave, on one prediction market I saw, over $11 million traded just on the game. That is wild. For people were so excited to have football back. To that end, because this is going to be, and we get a lot of the rest of the preseason started next Thursday, or the first day that we'll get games going, Dave, we'll see more fluctuations in a lot of these rookie of the year markets just because the first time we're seeing these players in an NFL setting. To that end, Dave, we had a great viewer email that coincides with the Cardinals. Of course, we were not going to see Jeremiah Love last night. That was already a decision that was made. Imagine we see him, you know, maybe next week, the week after that, and slowly worked in. He'll be a key cog in this Cardinal offense. Jim in Boston gave us a great email. He said, "Hi, guys. I played Jeremiah Love under his total rush yards of 899.5 at minus $1.20. As always, shop around. As a rookie coming in on a team that will be trailing a lot this year, a lot more has to go right to hit the over than the under. Aside from being in a tough division, there's injury, lack of opportunity due to game script, a random suspension, etc. If I would play an over, I look to overs on his receptions on a game-by-game basis. Always enjoy the show." That's Jim in Boston. I want to get kind of a correlation with you on that, Dave, because we have the shortest shot on the board, Jeremiah Love, Arizona Cardinals. Carson Beck, we just saw him last night, now cascading down in the odds market. When we have a situation like this, interested in your handicap on it, when you have the guy who is the shortest shot to start, even before the game yesterday, and now you have a Carson Beck performance, albeit, again, backups, that's fine, but we still have to see him out there. How do you now reassess, knowing that, barring injury, Jeremiah Love is starting week one? Jacoby Brissett is starting week one. Is Jeremiah Love still an investment you'd want to make, knowing this Cardinal team probably not going to win a lot of games, probably going to be trailing, like Jim talked about? I think it's a fascinating handicap because it was one I asked you about yesterday when you're looking at, like, Jadarian Price, you know, who's going to be the guy in the backfield for Seattle, world champions. Interested how you would approach where Jim is at, knowing the over in that spot much harder to hit than the under, with where Arizona may be game script wise, especially early in the season.
Well, first of all, Jim in Boston, appreciate the email and sending those our way. We'll try to address as many of these as we can. And you're right, we did discuss it yesterday. And Jim, you very astute observation about the receptions out of the backfield. And that's exactly what I mentioned in the program yesterday. I would not look to his individual rushing yard prop. If you want to play that under, I understand why. But I like the combination. And I would wait for those markets to adjust, and I might look to an over on the combo prop, because just watching a little bit of the way Michael Fuller is going to have that offense going this year, I would think they're going to use him in the pass game as well. So, you know, are they going to try to go back there with a straight fullback and a lead running back position here like the old days, and then you're going to stack the box against the rookie? I don't think that's what we're going to see in this version of the offense. I think it's going to be a little bit more spread out in that regard. So I would look, Jim, if you wanted to get invested in there, the over reception props, you can do it game in, game out if you want. But I do like the combo for him because I do think he'll be used a lot out of the backfield as well. So this combination yards, kind of like we're seeing with Jahmyr Gibbs in Detroit, kind of like what you're seeing and why Bijan Robinson, those guys are getting the bag. Bijan gets a little bit more of the straight carries, but Jahmyr Gibbs really is that guy that gets a lot out of the backfield too, not just straight handoffs. That's the way I would think Jeremiah Love might be utilized. So to me, I'm a little bit dicey about playing his under this year because I do think it's attainable if he's going to play all 17. They do have Tyler Allgeier there as well, and he's going to get some carries as well. But to me, it's more that combo threat. That's what I'm looking at with a lot of these elite backs. Mm-hmm. And if Jeremiah Love is going to be one of those guys, Jensen, that's the way I think he would be used. But I want to get back to Carson Beck, too, because, again, I don't think he's going to play right away. But he's going to play. And that acceleration happens because of age. And I mentioned Tyler Shuck in the program. Tyler Shuck right now, I do believe he's 26 years old. I want to say yes. He's 26 right now. So that's an older guy that when he was coming into the NFL last year as a rookie. That's the same thing that you're seeing with a guy like Carson Beck, who's kind of been well-traveled in his college career, as we well know. And he is 24 years old. These aren't 21, 22 young kids. Yes, they're younger. But, Jensen, they're more experienced. And I did think that showed that he was not in awe of the surroundings last night and looked the part right away. So that's why I think now at 25-1, I would not get invested here. Hopefully you got the better of the numbers when we gave them out. But I do think it might be playable eventually, Jensen, because if they get off to a rough start in week one, they're going to be playing the Chargers. I think the Chargers are going to have a pretty darn good defense. It could be tough sledding for that offense. Look good in the preseason in Canton. I don't know how good it's going to look in week one. I do think eventually Carson Beck could be on the shorter side of the wait versus the longer side.
So week one, Cardinals at Chargers. No surprise, double-digit favorite here for the Chargers. Dave, according to our VSiN NFL betting guide, home teams in this head-to-head matchup have won the last three ATS. So I don't know about you. I'm never comfortable laying a double-digit in week one as far as the spread is concerned. But that is a decent trend, and I think you and I know the continuity that Jacoby Brissett showed with Trey McBride. Let's see what Marvin Harrison Jr. looks like, you know, moving forward and where, you know, he is. I know he's had some of the back issues to start in camp. The other side of it, and if you're Dave Canales, you got to feel good about your group and some resiliency and a little two-minute drive to get started there.
Sure.
The Panthers, another good trend here. Again, they're going to be home hosting the Chicago Bears. Underdogs, the last 11 games head-to-head, according to our VSiN NFL betting guide, Dave. Dogs 8-2-1 ATS in this Carolina-Chicago head-to-head matchup. So that's a nice three to grab if you want at the moment, and we'll see if any of those numbers change here in the coming weeks.
You know, what's also interesting about last night with Haynes King getting that game-winning drive to close it out for Carolina, they only have three quarterbacks in the roster. So obviously Bryce Young did not suit, and I don't know that you're going to see him at all in the preseason. It'd be surprising if you do. Kenny Pickett is slated as the backup right now, and then Haynes King is the third string. Now, Jensen, that doesn't mean that he's made the club, because sometimes I've seen this where sometimes they only carry two quarterbacks. Now, I don't know if you can do that in this day and age. You would feel like you'd have to dress three and have three guys out there. But I wonder if Haynes King punched his ticket last night to the 53-man roster. Again, we talked about it, and this is why we have Marty Herney in the program. What the other scouts are doing right now is they're scouting a lot of the guys that you saw in the fourth quarter last night to see the guys that don't make the team if they're good enough to make theirs. So while, you know, sometimes we go, it's running clock, you just want to get out of there, you are putting this stuff on tape for other teams to literally go through your rosters and see if they can make upgrades, whether it's to the regular squad or the practice squad. That's what's going on now. But I think Haynes King, only with three quarterbacks on that roster, made a really strong case to carry him and keep him now after what we saw. One game, it's one game, but a really good game for a guy like Haynes King. Let's get back and talk some Major League Baseball. And man, the Red Sox, as Will Hill said yesterday, they just won't lose. They did it again yesterday. We'll discuss next right here. VSiN by the Books.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
The wait is over. The VSiN College Football Betting Guide is here. If you sign up for VSiN Pro today, you're going to get instant access to our College Football Betting Guide. It features previews of all 138 FBS teams, our preseason top 50, power ratings, proven betting systems, best bets from the sharpest minds here in the network. Plus, you're also going to get our NFL Betting Guide, the Fantasy Life Fantasy Football Guide, daily best bets, real-time betting splits, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Start today for just $9.99, or get a full year and save 50% off with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Head over to VSiN.com/subscriber right now. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. We continue the Friday edition of VSiN by the Books, talking much more football as the show goes. Going to catch up with Thomas Gable out there at Bet Bash in Las Vegas, and Lou Finicaro, of course, our man in the other desert, Arizona, breaking down UFC Vegas 120. But Jensen, we had Will Hill on the program yesterday. He said, man, how do you bet against the Red Sox right now? Yeah. They just feel like they're going to win every game. They're just never going to lose. And they somehow pull this one out 12-11 yesterday against the White Sox, erase a huge deficit, win in 13. It's kind of crazy, but you've been in those clubhouses before where you do get this invincibility vibe to you. What are they, 31-5 now in their last 36 games? This is crazy stuff.
Yeah, and again, when you look at kind of where this game started, I had played the under 9 just thinking that we get Castillo and Ranger Suarez. Yeah, this could be a runs at a premium game. Well, forget that. The over hits with flying colors in the fifth inning. And really, it's been the late inning offense, too, where the never say die opportunities present themselves, especially at home. Take it from someone who has pitched in all kinds of close games at Fenway Park. As soon as you get that leadoff man on in late innings, that place comes alive. And again, you get the run in the ninth to force it to extras. Usually, Dave, if you get two in the top half, you got a great chance in the 10th inning or extra innings to be able to put that thing to bed. But man, this has been, you know, really remarkable to see that multiple opportunities for the White Sox bullpen, a revamped White Sox bullpen at that. Because remember, Chris Getz went out and added a couple of hurlers there to try and bolster a group that they felt could be able to get this thing into October. That has kind of been the problem when you run up against the buzzsaw that's been the Boston Red Sox. It has not mattered who has come in against them. Nope. So, Brazoban has the blown save opportunity. Trevor Richards has a blown save opportunity. And then ultimately Eric Fetty has to be pressed into action because you get to the 13th inning and you're like, well, we don't have anybody left and we don't want to burn our starter for Friday. Oh, by the way, it's getaway day and you got to come home for a huge series against the team that's chasing you. Talk about the White Sox with the Cleveland Guardians that were already in town because they played a day game and got pasted and swept by your New York Mets. All that being said, Dave, let me present this case study for you. On July 1st, the Boston Red Sox were 40-1 to win the American League. Okay. Then in the midst of that win streak to end the first half of the season, that was cut more than in half to 17-1 right there on July 15th. They're now down to 5-1. They're the third betting choice on DraftKings to win the American League from 40-1 to 5-1. Just mythical proportions here of what they've put together in the last 30 to 35 games.
It's kind of ridiculous. When you look at, you get one in the ninth to tie it. And as you mentioned, the Sox get two in the top of the 10th. Then you come back and get two in the bottom half. They get one in the 11th. You get one in the bottom of the 11th. They get one in the top of the 12th. You get one in the bottom of the 12th. Jensen, you can lose that game a thousand different ways and you don't. And then you hold them scoreless in the 13th, and you get to get that one to get across the board and get the winner. That's the stuff that you just start to scratch your head on and go, "Well, how do we stop this mojo? Like, that train is out of the tracks in Boston. How do you slow them down?" I wonder if you gave them truth serum, because Will even said, "Look, this is not sustainable," and like you're defying logic at this point when you go 31-5, like that. Just doesn't happen in Major League Baseball. We don't see streaks like this. I don't want to bet it because I'm like, the number's too short now, and eventually water's got to find its level. You know, all of these things that we talk about, those axioms, that they got to come back a little bit to the pack. But Jensen, can they keep this same type of mojo going all the way through the next 2 months? It feels like it's too long to sustain to then be worthy of a bet at 12-1 to win the World Series, dare I say?
I don't know, man. I'm going to read you some statistics, and you tell me. They're the number one bullpen ERA in baseball right now. They have the lowest walks per nine as far as the bullpen goes. Their rotation ERA is up to ninth. Remarkably, even with this run, they are now 17th in runs scored for the body of work for the year. You have got the number two, number three, and number four highest power ranked hitters, according to Fangraphs, for the last 7 days. And Sidan Rafaela, Willy Abreu, and Caleb Durbin all going hot as heck right now. and right on their heels, Jaren Duran and Masataki Yoshida. And oh, by the way, this is a team that basically was carried by Wilson Contreras for most of the first half of the season because no one else was hitting. So here's the rub. Imagine the morale if you knew that Garrett Crochet was on the horizon sooner than later. Remember, we talked with Rob Bradford, and he said it is going to be lucky for them to get him back in any capacity by the end of the year. But think about that for a moment, Dave, that if you were getting your ace back, like, let's say September 1st, and you're on this run right now, oh, absolutely, you'd be buying stock in the Boston Red Sox at whatever, if you want them at the pennant price at 5-1, if you want them at the World Series price. Yeah, we do this a lot here on the show, and I think it's worth revisiting, Dave. If you think the Red Sox are team of destiny right now, you can start to play around with some World Series exactas and find your way to monetize on the other side. So, for instance, if you think it's chalk, if you think it's Red Sox Dodgers, that's a little over 10-1 on DraftKings. If you think the Brewers can get through, that's 35-1 Red Sox Brewers World Series. I've been telling you about the Braves. Don't sleep on the Braves. Okay. Red Sox Braves, 35-1 Red Sox Cubs, we said earlier, it was what, 100-1 a week or so ago? It's now 47-1 The Philadelphia Phillies and Red Sox, that's 65-1 So there's ways for looking at teams on the other side, Dave, where if you think the Red Sox are just going to continue this and march their way into October, you've got bets you can make for those league pennants, you know, kind of the world, I like to call them World Series exactas, just picking the two representatives, and then be able to find ways to monetize that into October. So excited to see where this ends up. But for right now, Dave, hard to bet against the Red Sox night in and night out.
I mentioned yesterday in the program that I thought in a high-profile game with Dylan Cease in Chicago, kind of a standalone, it was a makeup game, that I theorized that yesterday's price might not be today's price. And lo and behold, Dylan Cease went out there and shoved seven innings, scoreless ball. Somehow, Louis Varland, who's been absolutely spectacular this year, gives up a two-run shot, goes into extras, and the Cubs get the win 3-2. But in that Cy Young market, it did exactly what I thought it would. It flipped. And today, Dylan Cease is the favorite to win the award, and Cam Schwitler is now the guy that you can get small money prices on. So again, this is probably going to jockey back and forth like a horse race down the stretch they come. But, you know, again, I don't think they should factor in too much who the opponent is. But I felt like because it was the Cubs, as hot as the Cubs have been, that it would make a difference. And it did yesterday in that marketplace. But boy, if you're a Blue Jays backer and you're trying to get back off the deck, that is a blown save by Louis Varland that you just don't see coming.
Yeah. Cam Schwitler scheduled to start the series finale this weekend against the Braves. So there's your own high profile, kind of, you know, the heavyweight fighters from each side throwing their respective punches. The probables, because the Yankees are going to go to Toronto next weekend. Unfortunately, it looks like the probables, it looks like Cam Schwitler and Dylan Cease are going to miss each other by one day. Schwitler looks like he's going to pitch on the 15th. Dylan Cease scheduled right now on Sunday the 16th, because now that would be great. It's not as apples to apples on Miami and Notre Dame playing, and, you know, you have the data point of like, well, this team beat this team on the actual field. But, you know, you can kind of see that it'll still be Cam Schwitler. Hey, ball is in your corner now up against a Braves team that is absolutely red hot in their own right.
Yeah, but you're right. Like, those are the type of things we're talking about in the marketplaces. Why I don't get involved in them, because they shouldn't matter, but they do. You know what I mean? If they had gone head-to-head, the voters would have looked at it that way. It should make no bearing because you're going up against the opposing lineup, not the pitcher. But it does sometimes affect your brain, at least the way the votes go there. I've given up on those Royals futures a long time ago, but the way that they lost yesterday to the Minnesota Twins, up 3-1 in the eighth. Jensen, I literally just laughed because they have given away so many games. They're like the best bad team in Major League Baseball, the Royals, and they do it again and give one up late to the Minnesota Twins, 4-3, three runs for the Twins in the top of the eighth.
Yep. Good night, Royals. Thanks for coming out.
Yep. And I guess the Twins keep their hopes alive of trying to keep things alive here for a wild card, or dare I say a run at the division with the White Sox struggles as of late. Let's get to some of the best sound of the day. You're going to hear from the newly minted highest paid running back in the NFL. That's next right here on VSiN by the Books.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We continue VSiN by the Books on this Friday morning and have our guy Thomas Gable join us a little bit later on in this program, as well as the great Lou Fedecaro. So great to have TG and Lou as we do each and every Friday, talking all things going on there. Bet Bash in Las Vegas and certainly UFC Vegas 120. But I want to get to some of the sound of the day around the world of sports. We're going to start with the highest paid running back in the history of the NFL. That was Bijan Robinson just a couple days ago. He has now been usurped, if you will, by Jahmyr Gibbs. This is a 3-year deal, $67.5 million extension. It could be worth close to $76 million in totality for Jahmyr. It includes a $51.5 million guarantee in that contract, Jensen. So Jahmyr gets the bag that Bijan had just gotten to become then the highest paid running back in the history of the league. So short lived. But Bijan spoke about this, about the position. We've spoken about it, Jensen, here, as far as it's like, it's almost like a bonding, a camaraderie of that kind of rising tide lifting all boats here. And these guys, even though they're on different teams, they don't mind being the pace car, if you will, for the next guy to get the bag. Here's the former highest paid running back in the history of the NFL, Bijan Robinson.
You know, even hopefully help other running backs out. You know, I think it's cool to continue to grow this position in all facets of the game, whether it's pass catching, running the football, like just being a dynamic threat on the field. Like when you can have guys like that and have guys come after you like that, that's how you grow the game. So that's where it all hit for me. And, you know, there was even yesterday, like there's all these college running backs, some of the top running backs in college just texted me, just, you know, just saying thank you. And I was like, that's when I was like, man, that's a cool thing, just because I know where the position goes, but to get the position back to where, you know, it used to be is the whole goal of what I'm trying to do.
I got to tell you, one, he seems like a cool dude. That's your perspective about being at that point, as he spoke, the highest paid running back in the history of the league. And that's where his mind was. But Jensen, that's not fake. And it's different than the quarterback position, because the quarterback position, it is about, oh, I should be getting more than that guy. It is like competition to see who can get the bag. And yeah, there's some of that to the degree here, but it's more about the position being paid what they collectively feel the league was not paying. So there is a difference between the running back position and the pay and the quarterback position and how they view it. I got to tell you, these guys have kind of fought. It's not just this group. You can go back to Le'Veon Bell if you want, when he held out. And I know a lot of people looked at him and said, what are you doing? But this does feel like it started back then, Jensen, that they collectively got together and kind of made this movement to get paid collectively as a position, and it's working.
Listen, as someone who's gone through it, the relief corps, non-closer relievers, we were forgotten people. And then all of a sudden, we had a couple of guys that accumulated a lot of holds. They weren't saves, but, you know, that was kind of the, hey, if you don't have us, you don't get to the save opportunity. And so we had a couple of guys that hit it really big in arbitration. That paved the way for more of your setup, you know, relievers, your leverage relievers, to be able to get increased paydays. So I completely resonate with where Bijan Robinson, by the way, those acting classes, remember he and Matthew McConaughey, I don't know if you know, Bijan Robinson's an actor off the field. That dude's going to be doing stuff after he's hung up the cleats. Just wanted to put it together. So if you want to go extension season, guys, for the regular season, Dave, to have 1,000 yards rushing this year, Jahmyr Gibbs, Bijan Robinson, and remember Jonathan Taylor kind of flew under the radar. He got the 2-year extension for $44 million. Mm-hmm. All three of those guys parlayed to have 1,000 or more rushing yards this year, plus 121 on DraftKings. If you had to take one of these guys, because we know that Bijan and Jahmyr are huge in the passing game for their respective offenses, if you had to take a shot on a guy to have 1,250 or more rushing yards, would you want Jahmyr Gibbs at even money, or would you want Bijan Robinson at plus $1.10?
I tell you, I'd probably go with option C, which would be Jonathan Taylor, because they don't use JT as much as they use Bijan and Jahmyr out of the backfield. He is more of that guy that's going to get those straight handoffs and try to run it down your throat. That they seem like it's more traditional in the Indianapolis Shane Steichen offense than what you're seeing in Atlanta and Detroit. Certainly not in Detroit, because they like to get him out there as wide as they possibly can. So out of those two options, I'd probably lean Bijan, because, again, I just look at Jahmyr almost like the ultimate hybrid. I mean, I'll go way back. Like, Roger Craig was that first guy I remember growing up in San Francisco as the real dual threat that could get you, you know, potentially just as much out of the backfield as he could straight running the football. That's the way I look at a Jahmyr Gibbs. So, again, out of those two choices, I'd look Bijan, but out of the three choices, and JT was part of that, too, of that kind of running back revolution, if you will. He did that and kind of stood in there and held out. People remember that in Indianapolis very, very well, and eventually got the bag and has now got a second contract since, or at least an extension since those days. These guys have kind of fought for what they're getting collectively. What they're getting. Jonathan Taylor would be the one for straight rushing yards in those prop markets I'd look at more than Bijan and Jahmyr Gibbs. Jason Light is the GM of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, this offseason has been dicey at best, and it's more coming from what you're hearing from Baker Mayfield, and he felt disrespected by the contract that was offered by the team. When you hear that, that's by the GM, and that's by guys like Jason Light. And so now, all of a sudden, when the GM takes the podium, you can expect the questions to come about the culture. What's going on there in Tampa Bay? Is there trouble for Todd Bowles? Is there trouble for Baker Mayfield? Is this the last year of keeping this core together? Todd was asked about that camaraderie, shall we say, and is that culture deteriorating in Tampa?
Not at all. Everybody here is very focused. Everybody here is very excited about this team. Everybody's very optimistic. You feel the energy out here, but you also feel it in the building. I feel like the culture is maybe at one of its highest points.
Okay. 8-win team a year ago, Jensen. 8.5 is this year's team. I mean, look, you got to put on the face and go out there and speak to the media and put the smile on the face and go. I get the professional part of that. But, Jensen, how much of that do you believe?
I've been around too many GMs to know that that's like the guy off camera standing next to you, just like staring you down like, yeah, yeah, you better say that. You know, okay. So what is the betting angle out of it? Let's go back to the Baker Mayfield angle, because I wanted to find this again, Dave, and I'm intrigued your thoughts. So he's going to sling it. It's just a matter of who can he sling it to. No Mike Evans this year. Mecca Buka is going to be your number one. And we'll kind of see where the disbursement is going to be, not only through the receiving room, but also the tight ends. Bucky Irving, two out of the backfield. Let's remember that. 3,599.5 at even money to the over for Baker Mayfield passing yards this season. Feel light to you? Just thinking that I know they want to run the football, but boy, there.
Yeah.
This is a captivating handicap, because there is motivation. Those guys are they absolutely love him and they want him to get his. So I am anxious to see, especially with the defenses they got in the first third of the season. I wonder where that passing prop lines up for you.
A lot of flags on this football team. I worry about playing an over. I would probably, if you made me again, I would look to the under. And again, I understand it's an 8-9 football team. It's a veteran-laden team. But without Mike Evans there, I worry about Baker Mayfield in this regard. He's the ultimate gamer. You know this being firsthand in Cleveland. Mm-hmm. The guy literally plays through a lot of things. And like to hit that passing yard over prop, he's got to play 16 of the 17, 15 of the 17. He probably will, because Baker just doesn't miss games. But that's sometimes to his detriment. And when you don't have a contract and you're now, at least in Baker's eyes, he feels like I am now a made man again. I once was, and then I wasn't. I was on the scrap heap of the NFL. I was about to be out of the league. And I went and played a game, if you remember, with Sean McVay with the Rams. And he looks back at that one game and says that kind of saved his career, kind of parlays that, if you will, into a new deal with the Bucs and gets a 3-year deal, which is team friendly. Now at the end of that 3rd-year deal, Jensen, I just worry if he starts to worry about self-preservation just a little bit. that if Todd Bowles is on the way out, and you just heard from Jason Light, I don't know if things go south, down south, if he's going to be the GM there next year. I just feel like there's a lot more there. That smile from the GM says to me, it better go right, or there are going to be a whole lot of changes here next year, and it could start in the front office and trickle down to the head coach, and the quarterback could be elsewhere next year. This is a really, really interesting year for the Bucs, but not one that, to me, Jensen, is a play-on team. I'm looking the direct opposite, probably a play against here for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We got a lot to get to here when we come back. Yes, football is back in our lives, and it was a dramatic finish last night in Canton. And yes, if your dollar's dependent on it, it came down to the final play of the game. We'll discuss next right here on VSiN by the Bucs.